Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Thank you for listening to this Last Blast podcast by The Intercooler. Now, before we get started, I just want to take a moment to thank Footman James for sponsoring Last Blast. As you know, at The Intercooler, we only partner with like-minded organisations, with companies that we think really understand what it means to be a car enthusiast. Footman James fit into that perfectly. I know this because when talking to them before making this recording, they said to me, please don't talk about car insurance, which I think says a lot. So instead, I'm just going to give you a couple of reasons why Footman James is different to other car insurance companies. Coffee and chrome, for one thing. That's Footman James' regular car meet. It's free to attend once you're registered. It's where hundreds, if not 1,000, car enthusiasts get together with their classics to enjoy and share their passion for cars. Footman James also publishes its Indicator Report. It's a thorough analysis and a detailed report into the state of classic car ownership in this country. The point is to promote and safeguard the future of classic cars in the UK. So there you go, two good reasons why Footman James is different to other car insurance companies. So thank you, Footman James. Go and visit footmanjames.co.uk. You're listening to the Last Blast podcast by The Intercooler. Hi everyone, Dan Prosser here with a 15-minute sample from our most recent Last Blast podcast for you. This one is Andrew Frankel talking to Red Bull Racing Chief Technical Officer Adrian Newey, arguably the greatest ever Formula One designer. He's won so many races, won so many drivers and constructors championships. And he's about to add two more to that, isn't he, in 2022. It's a fascinating conversation. The full thing is about an hour and 40 minutes. So, I mean, we are enormously privileged at TI to have been given an hour and 40 minutes of Adrian Newey's time. I mean, what's that worth? So hopefully you'll enjoy the podcast. This is a 15-minute clip from it. The full thing lives on the Intercooler website and the Intercooler app. You're going to have to be a subscriber. So if you're not subscribed already and you want to listen to this conversation, now is the time to do it. So head over to the Intercooler app or the-intercooler.com, and there you can listen to the full 1 hour, 40 minute Last Blast podcast with Adrian Newey. For now, enjoy this 15 minute extract.
So you now find yourself at McLaren, working with Ron. Culturally a bit different, I would imagine, to the Frank and Patrick show.
Very much so. I think when Ron kind of, or McLaren, the way it operated, when you go in, if you didn't walk through the race bay, you'd be hard-pressed to know what was being made there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way Ron kind of liked it, that he liked this sort of image of it being a high-tech business that could be making anything.
Yeah.
It just happened to be making racing cars. The original building, or the building I worked in to start with for the first 3-4 years, was a bit like we have here at Red Bull. It was a pretty average piece of architecture, just a typical industrial estate building on an industrial estate. And I like the honesty of that. It doesn't pretend anything it's not meant to be. It's just concentrating on its core business of making the best racing cars it can.
Yeah.
And the first kind of that time, Ron and I had a very good relationship with Martin, so it was a proper three-way relationship, if you like. Ron did stick to his word and thoroughly involve Martin and myself in all the key policy decisions and so forth. It all worked very well. Ron did nearly, I thought he was going to have a heart attack about 2 weeks in. So I joined on the 1st of August. And Ron wanted me to come along to a race, the next race was Hungary, which I went along to. But by then I'd been working there for about 2 weeks and inherited John Barnard's old office.
Right.
Which was kind of floor-to-ceiling mahogany wood panelling, dark wood panelling, with black window frames, a mahogany desk, dark brown carpet, black chair, I think. I can't remember. So anyway, when you're working, I was working crazy hours trying to catch up because it was a very late start, 1st of August. I was working kind of good 12-hour, maybe more, days.
Yeah.
Very often well past midnight. And by the end of that, it was this darkness was getting a bit depressing. So I said to the factory manager, look, while I'm in Hungary for the race, can you brighten it up a bit? Here's a Farrow and Ball colour chart.
Yeah.
I quite like the duck egg blue. So can you repaint the panels duck egg blue? Get me a lighter brown chair or something and say a light beige carpet. Yep, no problem. So I went away, came back on Monday, and it done it all. Incredible, really, just in a few days. And it completely transformed it. Now felt bright and cheery and everything. Anyway, that Monday evening, Ron came in about 6 o'clock, and he stood in the doorway, and he started gulping like a goldfish, and started going more red and then purple. And I thought he's going to have a heart attack. And he finally spun on his heels and walked out. The Ron's favourite colour is grey.
Right.
And he
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and the whole McLaren building, even the old one, was shades of grey.
Yes.
So to see this colourful office,
yes,
and something that had been done without his knowledge or control,
yes,
was just,
yes, I can imagine that wouldn't compute very well in the.
Yeah. Years later, I was chatting to his wife Lisa, who's still a very good friend, and she said he got back from that evening. He said, "That's it. He's going.
Well, luckily for him, you didn't, because you had, the first two seasons were fantastic, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. No, we had two. There's quite a big rule change between 97 and 98. Narrow track cars, various other aerodynamic regulations, plus the change to groove tyres. And I think that allowed us to come up with a very different car. There were some loopholes we exploited in the regulations in terms of the cross-section of the monocoque. The narrow track, most people tried to go in proportion. Okay, if the track's narrow, we should shorten the wheelbase.
Yeah.
I felt that actually, because so much of a car's performance is on corner entry, if you've lost if you've now got more weight transfer onto the outside front tyre because the wheelbase is shorter, the best way to compensate for that is to make the wheelbase longer.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what we did. So we had a much longer wheelbase than anybody else. And the car worked pretty well. So we had a very good first year, won both championships. Second year, Schumacher broke his leg at Silverstone. But people forget is actually Mika was leading the championship at that point anyway. Yeah. So it's not like suddenly we lucked into it.
No, sure.
I think we almost did the opposite. We actually fell asleep. So then we started making all sorts of stupid mistakes.
It was quite close at the end, wasn't it?
And it was very close at the end.
Yeah.
But through our own... In truth, I think through our own complacency, we just let too many events slip through our fingers almost because it seemed too easy.
And then we start, there was that period, wasn't there, of Ferrari dominance. I can remember...
Well, you say that, sorry to interrupt, but... No. Yeah, I mean, it was, of course. But 2000, we just also had a good car. And going into Indy, which is, I think, about two or three races from the end, again, Mika was leading, I think he was leading the championship. But we just started, the engine started to become very unreliable. So Indy leading the race, engine failure, Schumacher went on to win the race. And when you're that close to the end of the season, you suddenly drop, in those days, I think it was probably 10 points. It's just too much to recover from.
Yeah.
So with better reliability, we would have won the championship in 2000.
Yeah.
And actually, the story that isn't known is that Schumacher was on the verge of joining for 2001. But when he saw how unreliable we were in 2000,
he decided
not to join. Yeah.
Gosh, no idea. But there was a time when you weren't going to be there in 2001. I can remember sitting in the Autocar office.
Yeah.
And I think I got a press release. I think a press release actually went out. If it didn't go out that you were going to join Jaguar, it was certainly very well known, wasn't it?
It was. I think it was a little bit later than 2001. I think it's more like 2003. By then,
maybe you're right. Yeah.
We moved into the new factory in about 2002 or so. And if I'm honest, I hated it. Mm. It was just very, very, it was the opposite of what you needed to try and be creative in. It was very clinical. The racing cars were even more distant, so I had even less idea what you meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Very big open plan offices. To go in, you were meant to go down through these, I think they're called rotundas, circular spiral staircases, along a white corridor, which felt like you're going into a funny farm.
Yeah.
You pop up another one and into your place of work. And I think in the early days, it was actually that you weren't even allowed water at your workplace, which must be against some human rights kind of thing. You had to put everything away at night. You were allowed one family photograph on your desk and that was it, but that had to be folded away and put in a drawer at night. And it was just very stifling. No colour. I remember saying to Ron, I just think the building could do with a bit more colour. He said, Adrian, don't worry, come in here. And we went in an unused room, and there against the wall was a picture but facing the wrong way. So proudly turn it around and so that you could see it. And it was a picture of a silver Mercedes McLaren SLR on a grey gravel with a black granite background.
This is his idea of colour.
Exactly. Yeah. So I still enjoyed my job, but I didn't enjoy that building.
Yeah.
I found it quite stifling. The other thing was starting... As a result of, so I started to not enjoy the job, and then Bobby, my old friend from Bobby Rahal,
went to Jaguar.
Was now team principal at Jaguar.
Yeah,
and he approached me. I thought, well, you know what? I've been lucky enough now to have worked for two great teams with Williams and McLaren, both teams that we're winning races and championships long before I joined. Hopefully, on both teams, when I joined, I was able to bring something on the design side.
Yes.
But the infrastructure was all there. So, the kind of I've still felt a pang of regret at being leaving and being forced into leave Leyton House. And a sort of the opportunity to, as we were doing at Leyton House, start again with a fresh sheet of paper and develop a team from more or less scratch and see where we could get to was one that I kind of felt was unfinished business. So the opportunity to work with Bobby, the opportunity to do exactly that, was an appealing one. And I just felt, I felt slightly jaded, I suppose. I felt I needed a new challenge. That was probably the best way of putting it. So I started talking to Bobby quite seriously. Told Ron that this is what I was going to do. And then actually took the kids to the cinema to watch, what was it, The Mummy's Revenge or Return or something. Return of the Mummy, that's it.
Right.
And turned my phone off, of course. A good cinema goer. Came out and my phone had about 500 messages on it. All hell had broken out while I'd been in the cinema because Ron didn't take it well.
Yeah.
And Ron is incredibly persuasive.
Yes.
And he pointed out, which was fair, and I'd started to sense it myself, that Jaguar stroke Ford, then the manager, or the management kind of would tend to be a revolving door type policy, that Bobby might not last that long. Nicky was being involved, and Nicky, I didn't know Nicky at that time at all. He had a very mixed reputation, let's say, within the paddock, of could be very hard and on his workforce, etc., very dogmatic, and I was a bit nervous of that. If I was joining, I was going to join because of my relationship with Bobby. But it started to become evident that Bobby was not in himself in a completely secure footing, and so if I joined and then Bobby got hoofed out, what would I have? So I didn't know Nicky. Subsequently, many years later, I got to know Nicky much better, and he was an amazing person. And so, in many ways, I now regret not having had the opportunity to work with Nicky as well as Bobby.
Yes.
But I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
Ron did a great number and persuaded me to stay.
So you stayed on for, I think, another couple of seasons. But then actually in 2006, you end up effectively at that team.
Yep.
A couple of years late, but presumably a lot of the faces were the same, but it's called Red Bull now.
Indeed. So I think after that, then Ron persuaded me to stay. But I think unknowingly and understandably, to be fair, Ron said to Martin Whitmarsh, make sure that we are never ever put in that position again where we have a technical director who's effectively become too powerful.
Right.
Well, we have become too dependent on him, is a better way of putting it.
Yes.
So Martin then came up with what was called the matrix system, where you had a head of aerodynamics and a chief of aerodynamics and a head of DO and a chief mechanical design and so on and so forth. And it was just a mess, to be perfect. It's too clumsy.
Yeah.
Too many cooks. So, that little group started to become too powerful, to the point that I was starting to lose technical control of the direction, which I'd never had before. To be fair to Patrick, he had always completely let me get on with it. Whereas now, for the first time in my career, I was actually effectively kind of not free to do what I wanted, technically. And so I thought, okay, it's got to be time to move on.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.